And we are back, the Kickback Pod, back finally. The OG squad is back. Fobs and Josh, finally back. I'm pretty sure it's our first recording, actually, together this year. So yeah. it's been a pretty long break. But I've just been lately just been itching to pod again. You know, there's a lot to catch up on. There's so much going on right now, actually, like not just the sneakers, but it feels like in sports, in the world, there's just so much to catch up on. So it's been quite a few months since our last pod. So apologize for that. I know it's not as frequent as it used to be, but we are going to try to get back into the frequency now. And I'm super happy to be back. Super happy to see you, Fobs. It's been a long, long time. So update the people. What have you been up to, man?
It's been a minute. Yeah, man. What have I been up to? What have I not been up to?
You went to Thailand first of all, the first like 1, 2, or 3 months of the year, you were in Thailand.
Yeah, I was there for 6 weeks. When was the last time we podded? Like, did I already have two kids when I podded?
No, the last pod that you and me recorded together was our best shoes of the year 2025. So we're talking like last week of December.
We recorded. Oh, shit. One. Okay, but then I already had two kids. So then that's not really an update. But yeah, I mean, man, I went to Thailand. I went to Greece for 2 weeks. I've been in Berlin with this lovely summer weather that we're having at the moment, which is like monsoon season. What have I done? I mean, I have just been kind of hanging out, doing a lot of downsizing. I've sold a lot of shoes. Been really trying to be more conscious of what I'm wearing. I'm trying to go viral on TikTok at the moment. I don't know if you've seen my videos.
Yeah, I've been seeing your videos. You're doing some kind of like a New Jersey everyday type of video.
I mean, I'm very excited for this World Cup, which, you know, has now been going on for 5 days, and I realized that I have a lot of jerseys, and so I counted how many days there were in the World Cup, and it's 39. And I thought I probably have enough jerseys to wear a different one every single day. And I do. I actually have more than enough, if you count like the jerseys that I have at my mom's place and stuff like that. So I crammed through my cellar. I crammed through my bedroom. I like looked in every nook and cranny in this apartment. I found all my jerseys. And basically, I'm just going to be wearing a different jersey every single day for 39 days. So I'm being an absolute man child. I'm not wearing any t-shirts, any shirts. It's just jerseys all the way. And then I thought it'd be funny to just upload like a stupid video every day on TikTok, doing like a different goal celebration as well. So, I've been doing somersaults.
Tell the people your TikTok handle so they can follow this.
Is my TikTok handle just my Sai Pak, I think?
We'll put it up on the screen. I'll put it up on the screen. We'll put it up in the show notes as well. Question: what's the most like obscure jersey you have?
Most obscure jersey. I've got a couple Thai teams that people wouldn't really know. I've got AIK, which I believe, don't get mad at me if I'm wrong, I believe is a Swedish club. They've got some really sick jerseys. It's like an all white jersey. I actually have like a bunch sitting right behind my computer here because I just did laundry and I folded them all. I have about like 6 United jerseys, probably like 10 or 12 Germany jerseys. I've got jerseys going back like 20 years. Like this one I'm wearing right now, the Real Madrid jersey from 2006.
That's a vintage one.
It's OG too. Like I remember I got this before the vintage jersey hype. I got this for €5 in a secondhand store in Berlin, which is just intense. And then, you know, I've just kind of been figuring out having two kids and trying to find time to, you know, take care of myself, take care of my partner. So now I feel like I'm in a place where, you know, it's getting easier to divide my time, which is why we're back here, which is why I'm super excited to be talking to you again about sneakers. I'm ready to dive back in, man, have more regular podcasts, maybe be on social media a little bit more as well.
I love seeing the series you've created because we haven't seen you on social for a while, so it's
I have not posted in months, maybe even years. What about you, man? What have you been up to? I mean, I'm sure your followers have been keeping up with you and all of your content.
I mean, I've been posting content definitely less this year, I would say, on YouTube. Not so much doing like full length reviews as much, but dropping a lot of content on Instagram. Also moving my content, also not just doing sneakers. I'm doing a lot of content about, you know, fashion brands you can find in Asia specifically,
yeah,
because
India,
that's kind of what I've been really kind of into wearing a lot of Asian brands recently. So I started making content about that, which has, you know, performed pretty well. And yeah, I mean, other than that, did a bunch of traveling myself as well. I actually visited China for a couple of weeks, and I will be dropping like full vlogs. I recorded so much content when I was there, so I'll definitely be dropping that on YouTube. I visited Hong Kong, Shanghai, and also randomly went to Australia too, because my wife really wanted to go. And yeah, I have nothing but positive things to say about all three of those places. Yeah, it's been great, and I'm looking forward to the summer. I'm actually for my Canadian viewers, I'm actually going to be in Canada for almost the entire summer. Like, I'll be leaving to Toronto next week, and I'm only going to be back in like mid-August. So I'll be in Canada. Yeah, looking forward to just, you know, me hanging out with friends and family. I kind of just have been feeling a bit homesick recently, so I feel like a trip is much needed, and very excited to be there for the World Cup. The World Cup is actually happening in Canada, in USA this year, so I am super, super hyped to actually be there in the city for that. Let's get into the World Cup. Okay, so
let's do it.
So it's been 5 days, and as of the time of us recording this video, we've probably just seen the biggest upset so far in the tournament, which is Spain just drew 0-0 to Cape Verde, which I don't think anyone ever could have predicted that, which is crazy. But let's do predictions, okay? So funnily enough, Spain was my team that I picked to win the tournament. And I'm not so worried about this tie, just because it reminded me of the 2023 World Cup when Saudi Arabia beat Argentina in the first game, 1-0, and then Argentina ended up winning the World Cup. So I feel like first game, you know, they're just trying to, you know, gel together, maybe not so used to playing in the US. Maybe they were partying too much there. I think that first game was in Atlanta too, you know? So yeah. Yeah.
What's that strip club called?
Magic City.
Magic City.
Yeah. You know, the boys probably had a good time the whole week leading up to the game. So they're just kind of, you know, on cruise control right now, but I still have faith that Spain is going to pull it off though. First, let's get yours. Like, who is the team you're picking to win?
It's hard to pick any team. Obviously, my heart says Germany, right? I want Germany to.
I mean, after that first game, they're looking strong.
Yeah, but that was also like, yes, but that was to be expected too. You know, that was
right.
What they should have done against a team like that—that's what Spain should have done against Cape Verde. I have to say, I think Portugal is super strong. Portugal, for me, has one of the best midfields in the world. The only thing that I think it can go both ways with Ronaldo. I think Ronaldo is either a blessing or a curse, or maybe he's both, because you have to fit him into the team somehow. And so you are kind of putting in a player that is, let's face it, past his best. He's playing in Saudi Arabia. He's 41 now. He should not be starting. He should not be playing the majority of the minutes, but he most likely will. That could be a bad thing, because it could disrupt and make the team worse than it could be. But it could also be a good thing, because it could mean that because these Portuguese players, they grew up watching Ronaldo. They grew up idolizing him. So he is like a god to them, right? And to many players of this generation. If they are playing for him, to win him, and for them, of course, but like if they're playing for him to win him a World Cup, that could be pretty dangerous.
That's some fire, you know? Yeah, some motivation for sure.
So I think Portugal's, but then you obviously you have like France, Spain, Argentina, England is also very, very good, Brazil, Germany. I think all those teams are in with a shout. And with this new like expanded format, round of 32, round of 16, some big teams could fall. I think if Germany and France both finish first, they meet in the round of 16 already, you know, and that means one of them is going home pretty early. So I think it's going to be a really interesting World Cup.
I have the Netherlands as a dark horse, actually. Yes. Like that's my number one dark horse pick. I feel like they're being kind of slept on. They have a very strong starting 11.
Yeah, yeah. I think it drops off after the starting 11, but
yeah.
If you look at like their defense with Mickey van de Ven, Van Dijk, you've got a very strong midfield as well with Frankie de Jong.
Yeah.
They're stacked on every position.
I completely agree with you about Portugal. Like they have, in my opinion, easily the best midfield in the tournament. Okay, yeah. Like bar none. But Ronaldo, like I've seen the preseason games. He's just like, it's tough to integrate him in, you know, because when he gets the ball at his feet, he just kind of wants to take over and
yeah.
You know, score, doesn't look for the open guy. And I feel like he's going to disrupt their flow a bit. But maybe Roberto Martinez, the manager, like maybe he's not going to play him as much. Who knows? And you still get that motivation from the team to want to win for him without him actually having to play 90 minutes.
And you know he's hyper competitive, right? He yeah. wants to win more than anyone else, regardless of whether he's 20, 30, 40, 50 years old.
Yeah.
So whilst he does play very, very selfishly sometimes, he also plays to win. So maybe he realizes that he needs to take a step back. Maybe he needs to pass the ball a little bit more. Maybe he needs yeah. to play differently to win. And if he does that, they could click and then they'll just steamroll. They won't steamroll everyone, but they will definitely be one of the teams to beat.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm going to go. I still think Spain is the team to beat, though. They look super, super strong to me.
I mean, they're defending European champions. Yeah. The thing is, nobody's talking about Argentina as much, right? Because they're the defending world champions. But
yep.
4 years, a lot can change in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Players are older. New players are in. Dynamics are different. So
but I feel like Messi, though, hasn't lost a step. Like he's dominating the. I know it's the MLS, dude, but like he's
MLS, man.
He's absolutely crushing that league.
Yeah, because it sucks.
Yeah, I know.
It sucks.
I know.
Sorry to any MLS fans here. I mean, I enjoy watching it when I can, when there's highlights. But like, come on, this dude is ridiculous. There, he's getting like hat tricks and 5 assists per game and whatever else he's doing. And
yeah, but just what you're supposed to be doing. If he wasn't doing that, then I would say he's falling off. But he's doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah. I mean, he's not good enough to play in one of the top 3-4 leagues in Europe, and neither is Ronaldo. Like at that level, could they do a job for Sunderland or Brighton for sure? But are they going to be starting at the Cities or the
no
the Bayern Munichs? No, you know they're not. They're not going to be starting at PSG. So I think they've definitely lost a step, both of them. Let's pause the World Cup talk for a second.
I'm going to give you your moment. I know you've been dying to talk about it, man. Listen, I know. You've waited, what, 53 years?
Dude, I mean, it feels like it sometimes when I'm thinking back to like the Linsanity days.
Big congrats to you on the Knicks championship, Fobs. Your team, I have to say, okay, like I'm not a New York supporter at all, like any New York team. But I was definitely surprisingly rooting for the Knicks during this finals just because of the fans. Like, I feel like the fans were were almost as big a character as the team itself. Like, all the videos I would keep seeing online.
Videos like, my man Muslim, my bagel's Jewish, my cream cheese chive, Knicks in 5.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like
fuck Wemby, fuck Trae Young. We're going to send the Statue of Liberty back to France. And they're all crowding the cameras.
Exactly. So and I feel like you just don't see that kind of passion in a fan base. And I felt like I was rooting for the fan base, you know? Like, I'm like, you guys want this really bad. So I hope you guys get it. It's probably the first and only time I'm going to root for a New York team. But congrats to the Knicks.
I would have to say also, you can't really argue that the Knicks team is also super likable, right? Like if you look at the players they have, none of them is a diva. None of them is kind of none of them are really superstars. Like, you know, Brunson, of course, is a superstar in his own way and has played himself into like the debate for like a top 10 to 5 player in the league at the moment on form for sure, right?
Yeah.
But if you looked at like potential and skill and whatever, you could probably name 5 to 10 players that are better than him or that you think could be better than him. Call Anthony Towns. What a player, you know? OG. Josh Hart. all those guys, and a lot of them played together in college, right? And were NCAA champions there. So like, they've got that tight knit bond. They're so funny. There's all these clips. Like, there's a lot of cool guys in the NBA, like as a whole, right? But the Knicks are just this like likable team, which is unexpected because New York is like this. I don't know. I think if you're not a New York fan, you kind of just hate New York, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
You're totally right. Yeah, I couldn't hate the Knicks just because all the players were exactly like you said, so likable. I'm a huge fan of OG Anunoby, of course, from his like Toronto days. But yeah, I mean, I feel like they were easily the best team throughout the playoffs, just dominating teams, crushing them. So I mean, I think the team that deserved to win the championship won it.
Even until the finals, before the finals started, everybody was like, yeah, but you know, they didn't even play the top two teams in the East. They steamrolled, you know, lesser opponents, blah blah blah. And everybody was still like, ah, bro, it doesn't matter whether OKC wins or San Antonio, they're going to win in four. And then it was like, ah, maybe they'll win in five. You know, Knicks will get one game, blah, blah, blah. And then the Knicks fucking steamrolled them.
Crushed.
And I think it would have been the same had OKC won.
Yeah, I actually thought OKC would have been a worse matchup. Meaning like it would be an easier matchup for the Knicks. Yeah. I was surprised to see them. Well, to be honest, like Spurs should be leading 5-0 in this series. Like they blew every single game. Like every single game they were leading at halftime, it felt like, and they just didn't know how to close. Like they had the worst fourth quarter offense ever. And oh my God, that game four has to be one of the most embarrassing things to happen to a team in a playoffs.
Yeah. What was it? 29 points, right? The biggest lead ever. The biggest comeback ever in NBA finals history. I think a lot of people said this will haunt Wemby and the Spurs because it's not a given that they'll be back next year in the finals, you know, because there's been eight different champions over the last 8 years.
Yeah.
People said last year, oh, OKC starting a dynasty. Look at what happened, right? Like, you know, OKC might be back in the finals next year. They're still going to be competitors, but it's the NBA over the last 10 years has been super competitive and no team has been able to repeat. So, look at OKC back in the day, right? Like with Harden, Russ, blah blah blah. They made the finals, they lost. Never came back. Could happen to Wemby too.
Yeah, we'll see. But it was one of the most entertaining like playoffs in a while, I think, and just because the teams that were involved were so entertaining to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I mean, I like the direction that the NBA is going in right now. But okay, we've talked a lot of sports because you Fobs and me, like we obviously love our sports. But let's get into the shoes. There's been, we've been wearing a lot of different brands right now. I think that's been one of the main themes for this year, especially. I'll get into what I've been wearing. So one big change I've made in my personal life is I really started enjoying running a lot more this year. And I've been, you know, doing some run clubs and running. I've basically been running every single week now for like the last 2 months. And I've really just enjoyed it. It's just fun to run with a group. And the shoes I've been rocking the most are the Evo SL. And I discovered a whole new side of YouTube that I've never even looked up before, which is like the people who review performance running shoes. And like, I just went down a rabbit hole there trying to find out like, which is the best running shoe to buy. And it seemed like the consensus from all the experts were to get the Evo SL. So, I absolutely love running in the Evo SL. I don't know if it's like just like a placebo effect or something, but like I have three pairs of running shoes total. Okay. Evo SL is the one I wear the most. I have the New Balance Rebel V4. And I have the New Balance 1080 V14. Easily out of the three of them, the Evo SL is the one where I just feel like the most responsive. I feel the most bounciest. Like if like the runs just feel like every step, I feel like I'm getting kind of like some energy from each stride. Whereas like the softer cushioning of the Rebel and the 1080 V14, it's good. Like it's much better on my knees, I feel. Also like, I don't know, I feel like a little bit slower for some reason. Like I feel like my feet sink with every step kind of, I'm a pretty beginner runner. So I'm not like an expert on this topic. Just my personal feel though, is I do prefer running in the Evo SL.
I've never tried it out. I think it's also very dependent on like your physiology, right? Like I pronate, I've got flat feet. So I need shoes that are stable. And I've heard that the Evo SLs, they're not the most stable shoes. They're obviously very like lightweight. They're very comfortable. They're springy. As you said, they give you a good energy return. They're fast shoes, but for people who tend to pronate a lot, who have maybe weaker ankles, it can be a bit of a dangerous shoe. I actually also have the 1080 V14s, and they are one of the worst shoes for me to run in. Because
why?
I get the worst blisters in them. I took those to Greece for 2 weeks, and my brother, we went with some of my family. My brother, he's a bit of a psychopath. He wanted to run 15 kilometers every single day. And
what?
He did. Yeah. He started by saying,
you call that a vacation?
Yeah, I know. Everything revolved around his workout routine. And I was like, bro, come on, let's go to the beach. He's like, how long are we going to go to the beach for? Because I need to be back to do my workout. I'm like, come on, man. but anyway, he was running 15 kilometers every day. And I think on like the second or third day, I decided to join him because I was like, you know, talking a big game. I was like, yeah, I can do that too, whatever. So my wife was like, all right, well, fucking put up or shut up. Like, go with him then. And so we ran up a mountain. So we ran like 7 or like 6 kilometers up and then 6 back. And by kilometer one, I felt that I had blisters, but I was like, all right, I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to keep running. Made it in the end. It was pretty fantastic. I felt really good about myself. Took my shoes off, took my socks off, blood everywhere.
Oh God.
The blisters, I'm not even joking. Like they were like as big as an egg on both sides, on the inside of my foot. I couldn't wear shoes for the rest of the trip. And this trip is now 2 weeks ago. And since it happened was 4 weeks ago. I still have scars from the blisters. Like the skin is still like, you can still see that it's not fully healed. I was putting bandages on twice a day, putting cream on, getting like waterproof bandages because I wanted to go in the water. It didn't ruin the trip, but it definitely impacted the quality of my ability to walk around and like see the sights and stuff like that.
Oh, it was terrible.
So it just goes to show that like each shoe is like super individual. But as you said, like a lot of people love the Evo SL. It looks great too, which I think is a big part of it as well.
Man, we are never getting a New Balance sponsorship.
Or
you
I mean,
killed
maybe, like,
any
honest
type of chance of that happening.
Honest reviews. I really like the Asics. The Asics Nova Blast is one of the better running shoes, actually.
Yeah. Okay. I have to try that one. The Evo just came out with different versions. Like a Evo. It's called the Exoskeleton.
Yeah.
And which actually fixes some of that stability issues that people were having. And I also just recently picked up the Winterizer edition, or the ATR it's called. I haven't ran in them yet, but shout out to Tolga, who is over at Zalando. I picked up like his colorway, nice, which is like the brown pair. So yeah, definitely looking forward to try that. And as far as like besides the running shoes, the shoe that I've just worn the most this year, there's two of them. One is the New Balance 993. I picked that up at the start of the year, just the standard. I have it with me right here, just the standard gray pair. And it's like, man, it is unbelievably comfortable. Like, it is so perfect, the shoe. Like, it's like, I don't know, man, whenever I wear it, I just feel instant happiness, man. Like, it's just like, it's just a nice feeling on feet, man. It's the most comfortable heritage New Balance shoe, I think. So yeah, definitely pick that up. And the other shoe that I've been wearing the most, and I'm surprised to say this, it's actually a Korean brand. It's called Deviation. And I picked up, you guys might have seen, I dropped a video on Instagram about it. It's these shoes that kind of look like the Margiela Gats, but it's more of like an avant-garde version of it. And I've just been wearing that a lot because it's like a perfect Berlin shoe. It's just like all black, but it has like some edginess to it. It doesn't exactly look like a Margiela Gat. It's got like a little bit of extra leather bits on there. And I just think it's such a versatile shoe. I've been wearing that one a lot too. What about yourself? What have you been wearing?
I mean, this is not me trying to get that New Balance sponsorship back, but I have been wearing a lot of my New Balance 860 V2s, the pink colorway. Just a fantastic shoe. I think so comfortable, goes with every single pair of pants or shorts that I have. You can dress it up, you can dress it down. I wear it to work, I wear it to the playground. At this point, they're pretty beat, so I might need a new pair. And I don't know if they've already dropped or are dropping. But I think Emily Andor did another three colorways recently, so I might have to pick up one of those. Not just a solid shoe. And then I've been, as I said, I've been kind of like downsizing a little bit, and trying to be a lot more conscious about what I'm wearing. So I'm going through some of my favorites before they're unwearable. And one of those is the Nike Air Force One Off-White from the Ghosting, the 10 pack.
Oh, wow. That's a classic.
The heel is like completely shredded on one of the shoes. Like it's already cracking and you can like the inside is coming out. The sole is completely yellowed, but they're still really comfortable, surprisingly. Because sometimes Air Force Ones, when you wear them a lot, like you wear them out and then the sole gets really hard, you know? But I want to wear them as much as I can before they just like fall apart completely. So that's been, and it's also a nice pair that you pull out and people are like, oh shit, like that's a big shoe. And this dude has like beat it to death, you know? And I kind of like that. And then, I mean, as I just told the story about my blisters on vacation, I actually wore my Morel slides a lot, over the last month, just because I couldn't wear anything else and they are so comfortable. So yeah, that's kind of been my rotation. But I am trying to mix it up a little bit, pulling out shoes that I usually don't wear or that have been in the cellar for a while, putting them on when I go to the office. So yeah, and you know, maybe I'll start posting them a little bit on TikTok or on Instagram as well.
I can't believe next year is already going to be 10 years since the 10 came out. That's insane.
That is insane. I was looking at something and somebody was like, oh, like 2016. I don't know if it was like a shoe or a jersey or like a streetwear drop. I don't know what it was. Somebody was like, oh, 2016. And I was like, fuck, that's 10 years ago. That's a decade ago. And 2016 to me feels like yesterday. Probably because like COVID warped time a little bit in between and those 5 years or 4 years or whatever don't really count. But also I kind of like remember what like in the like when it was like 2017, 2018, 2019, like I also used to think like 2008 was a couple of years ago, you know?
Yeah, man.
Just, yeah, I don't know. It's just we're getting old.
We're definitely getting old, but yeah, that's unbelievable. I'm sure Nike, man, I don't know if we have even time to talk about this, but like, I kind of don't like what Nike's doing with this whole Virgil Abloh archive thing. Kind of like
the next episode.
Next episode. All right. We'll talk about it, but I'm expecting probably a lot of that next year to mark the 10 year anniversary.
True. The whole, they're going to bring the 10 back or something.
Yeah,
like
man. Anyways. Okay. So let's get into the latest pickups then. I'm just going to talk about shoes that I picked up recently. First is this lovely pair right here. This is a collab between the Australian label Song for the Mute and Adidas on the Samba Freizeit, which is like it's kind of like a derby version of a Samba, right? Like it looks like a dress shoe and it's awesome. This is like such a versatile shoe. The leather quality is insane on this and it's such a like smart version of a Samba. Like this is something you can rock with a suit, you know, like it's just, I feel like I don't have too many like dressy shoes like this, period. Like I don't have a lot of loafers and I know you have a lot of loafers, but like, I just don't have a lot of like dress shoes in my wardrobe. So this is like a perfect in-between shoe for me. It's like a sneaker and a dress shoe. And I just thought like it was absolutely worth the money. So I ended up buying that one for myself. Nice. And then a couple of other ones. So on Vinted, I like to, you know, doom scroll on Vinted late at night. So I found a crazy steal recently. Like it was the Kith collab on the New Balance 1700. This was like a Toronto exclusive. It's just like this white and red pair, which was like in the Canada colors. And someone put up like a brand new pair of those on Vinted for like 100 euros. And I got him to negotiate it down to 65 euros and I ended up buying it. And it's like literally, I get it. And it's like literally a brand new pair. Like all the factory laces are like still like hanging on the side of the shoe. Like it's like literally a brand new pair. I can't even believe I got it for so cheap. The guy just wanted to get rid of it. So I was very, very happy with that. And probably like, I don't have the shoe with me yet because it's supposed to come tomorrow, but this is like probably my favorite shoe that I've ever received. And that's because my name is actually on it. I got to work with Adidas on a shoe, which is a collab between the Better Generation, which is a boutique in Houston, and Andu C, who is a sneaker customizer. Both of them did a collab, which was just in time for the World Cup. And it's very much football inspired. It's got it's basically on the Predator Sala, which is very much like a football boot, football shoe. And if you check it out, if you check out the collab, it's basically got like a football turf. The box is basically like a football turf, and it's just like very special shoe. And 26 different collaborators from around the world got to work on the shoe and put their own pin. That the shoes actually come with 26 different pins. And the pin that I designed, I'm sure you'll recognize it without me even pointing it out, because it's basically a pin that represents my background of being a Canadian from Toronto. I'll talk about it a bit more when I drop my video about that shoe. But it's crazy. The pair that they sent me literally has JD Kicks written on the shoe. So it's cool, man. I'm excited to actually unbox it. Like, I've never seen a shoe with my name on it with a pin that I designed. And I think they also sent me like a t-shirt that has like a picture of like an action figure, of me in like a Canadian, football jersey, which I'm excited to open. So yeah, it's cool. Like I've just being able to work on such a cool project with so many, creators from like every part of the world, really. Like I thought it was just such a cool project. So a big shout out to Andu C and also Sneaker Den, who put this project together. And I really am excited to receive these.
Is yours the maple leaf with the Toronto map on it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I'm looking at all the pins and I saw it. I was like, yeah, that's gotta be it. Nice.
That's definitely it. Yeah, it's a maple leaf, and inside the maple leaf there is like a picture of the globe, basically like all the continents, and you have the Toronto CN Tower right in the middle, and it's supposed to be like a transit map showing how the entire world is connected, and it just represents exactly what Toronto meant to me and how grateful I am to actually grow up there, because it's literally the most multicultural place I've been to in my life, and I've traveled to a lot of countries. There's really nothing that compares to Toronto in terms of how diverse it is. Like my group of friends growing up were from literally every corner of the globe, being exposed to so many cultures throughout my entire childhood. That's really kind of shaped who I am as a person and given me that kind of global perspective. And yeah, I really, really appreciate it. I'm really grateful to the city for shaping me. So that's kind of what that pin represents. So yeah, the raffle for that shoe is live until the 20th of June. So make sure you enter. And yeah, if you win the raffle, you will get my pin. It comes with all the shoes. So yeah,
there's a lot of Germans who took part in this, right? Like you've got JW Studios, you got I Am Toyga, you've got JD. I mean,
yeah, JD as well. Yeah,
I'm trying to find your action figure right now.
Yeah, my yeah, it's Andu posted it on his Instagram.
Yeah, no, I know, I'm on there. There we go. You're the goalkeeper.
That's yeah, so I'm good. A goalkeeper.
Oh, that's so good! Congrats, man. That's dope.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I was. I'm excited to see that.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, I can't follow that up with much. I have not picked up a lot, as I said.
Yeah, you've been downsizing.
Yeah, and I remember what I was talking about. I was like, oh, I'm going to sell a bunch of shoes. I want to, like, you know, have a more considered collection, make my collection more of a rotation, wear everything, blah, blah, blah. I mean, long story short, I wanted to go from, I think I had like over 100 shoes, and I want to go down to 30. And I wanted it to be like very, very considered, like, you know, which shoes are part of the 30, a couple of favorites, a couple of hype stuff, a couple of general releases, blah, blah, blah. But I realized as I was going through all of my shoes that I think I went through like not even a third, maybe like a quarter of the shoes that I have. And I had already said I want to keep 25 shoes. And I was like, okay, it's not going to be possible to get down to 30. But what I did is I did sort out a lot of shoes, and I actually put them on Vinted for like a super low price. I think like the most I asked for a shoe was like 50 euros. And it was shoes that like were partially also dead stock. Like I had a couple Ama Manier Jordan 5s in there that I sold for 50 a piece.
Bro, seriously?
Yeah. I was just kind of like, they're priced to sell. I told people I'm not negotiating. So if you hit me with an offer, I'm ignoring you. And there was this one guy who, like, he must have bought 20 pairs of shoes off me, because he like started buying a couple, and then he was like, wait, these are all from the same buyer or seller. And then he messaged me, and I told him like, yo, like, I've got more coming. Like, I just need to take pictures of them, and then I'll send them to you privately, and we can. And he was just buying like a fuck ton, and I was like shipping them in like massive boxes. I think he lives in France or something. So I got rid of quite a lot of stuff that, you know, I figured if somebody else wants them and will wear them, then that's probably better than me just hoarding them and not using them. But I still have way too many shoes. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been looking, you know, more and more into social media and seeing shoes that have come out or are coming out where I'm like, ooh, I like this one. Ooh, I like that one. So I'm getting the itch again a little bit to pick up some pairs. But I think before I do that, I'm going to clear out some more and really only. My goal for this year is to like clear out the shoes that I really don't want, really don't need, and don't wear, and only replace them with shoes that I know that I will wear regularly, because I think it's too much of a shame to have shoes that I'm never going to wear in my closet or in my cellar or in my mom's cellar, you know? So that's my goal for this year. It's a very, very late New Year's resolution.
Yeah, that guy from France, like he must have just been lucky to be your size, and it must have felt like Christmas finding your account and having all these shoes for under 50 euros. Like, wow, dude, man, lucky guy.
He spent like over 1,000 euros with me and was like, you're happy to do even more. And I'm like, yeah, man. I mean, as soon as I'm like, I'm just too lazy right now, but I told him as soon as I'm motivated enough to like pull all the shoes out, photograph them, decide, you know, what I want for them and message you, then I'll do that. So
that's nice. Yeah, great, man. So let's, I haven't really talked yet about what the main topic of this podcast will be about, actually, but we have a couple of things that we wanted to discuss in this pod, which is, first of all, like just kind of a quick summary, giving you like a year in review so far. And the second bit is I did post on my Substack, which I will leave a link to in the description in case you guys didn't already see my Substack, but I've just started writing a couple of articles on there. I recently wrote an article about rep sneakers and the impact that at least I feel it had on sneaker culture. So definitely check that out. So we'll just be kind of discussing that article a bit here on the pod as well. But first, I mean, let's just give like a quick year in review so far, right? So basically, I've observed a couple of things, like just maybe because I've been doing this running thing for a while, I've really noticed how this year has been super into running shoes, like in terms of like what the brands are focusing on. It's really like, it feels like running shoe kind of dominated this year. And it almost feels like running shoes have become like the new hypebeast shoes, because most of the sneakers that come out nowadays, the lifestyle ones at least, they don't really sell out. Even the collabs are not really selling out. I mean, even like supposedly hype collabs are not selling out, like the Nigel Sylvester Jordan 4s, for example. Like those were sitting in some places in Europe even, and just remember how hyped the other ones were, the red ones. And meanwhile, if you look at the shoes that are selling out, it's like shoes like, for example, the Minted recently did a collab with Saucony, and those ones, those pairs like were instant sellouts, and they're going for a lot of resale value as well. You look at some other collabs, running collabs that are selling out. Like I know Nike on the Vomero Premium did a collab with like some German designer, Melita Baumeister. Is that her name?
Yeah, she's like a luxury designer, right? That lives in California, but she's like German born or something.
Yeah. So they did a collab with her, which instantly sold out, also going for a lot of resale value. I know Adidas is putting out a collab with Bape that should be dropping later this month. And it seems like, and that shoe too, I've already seen like a lot of hype being generated for it. So it's weird. It's like, even though the overall sneaker environment seems a little bit down this year, at least if we're looking at, you know, resale values, it doesn't seem to be applying to the hype running shoes. You know, like I feel like runners are kind of having a hypebeast moment, at least from what I can tell. And, you know, same with, even the general release shoes like the Evo SL, those are, I mean, some colorways do sell out. I know some still go on sale because it's such a widely produced shoe, but, the CEO of Adidas, man, his name is slipping my mind right now, but, he said in the last earnings release that, Adidas has already sold over 10 million pairs of the Evo SL, and it's already like a pretty big part of their revenue. So, maybe it's just like the demographic of like the sneakerheads before are now turning to running, maybe, or maybe I'm just talking about my own experience, but yeah, it does feel like that's one observation I'm making about running shoes in general. And the other one is, I feel like sneakerheads at least are being like really, really selective right now. And they have the opportunity to be selective because you no longer need to wake up at 9 o'clock for a sneakers app release. You no longer need to wake up for the confirmed app release because shoes don't sell out instantly like they do anymore. So you can really chill and be selective about what shoes you want. So we're still seeing some shoes selling out. Like, for example, I talked about these Song for the Mute pairs, right? Like, this was a pair that I don't think anyone predicted would sell out, but they instantly sold out on the first day. And I wasn't expecting that either. I bought them on release date thinking that I would end up returning it and then buying it later once it goes on sale. But that didn't happen. In fact, the shoes were completely sold out in all countries. So people are still being very selective about what they're buying, and some shoes are still selling out. And I think it's just overall a great time to be a sneakerhead, because you don't have to worry about paying resale. You can get the shoes you want. And I'm personally enjoying this much more chilled atmosphere currently in the sneaker world.
Yeah, I mean, to your most recent point, I think it's been like that for a while, right? At least the last thing you said, that it's a good time to be a sneakerhead because you can pick up a lot of cool things, sometimes even on sale. But that there are still releases that sell out, because I think if nothing ever sold out, it would be a problem for the sneaker industry and also the culture in a way, because hype is, whether you like it or not, part of the culture, part of the community. I think there's good hype, there's bad hype, or not bad hype, but ridiculous hype. So I think it is an interesting way or interesting time to be into sneakers. I think it was it Matt Welty from Complex? I said a while back that the sneaker community is more of a democracy now, right? Because you can really vote with your wallet a little bit, pick things up, etc. To your first point about the running shoes, it's something that I've noticed too, and also that I think it goes hand in hand with run clubs and running becoming cool over the last couple of years. You know, you've got brands like UVU, Bandit Running, Acid Running, Anti Berlin. Like, there's a lot of cool, Satisfy, Rendezvous. There's all these really, really cool brands that are doing cool things in the running space, not just with shoes, but with apparel, with accessories, etc. And I think that, you know, the major sportswear brands are catching on and they're like, okay, well, you know, our running shoes are selling well and maybe we need to start marketing them as lifestyle shoes, which is what Adidas did with the Evo SL. That was one of the first big sportswear brands to do that again, right? To push performance as lifestyle or as kind of like an all-round lifestyle and performance. I'm kind of seeing a pattern here as well, because if you go back to the 2010s, what were the coolest shoes? Performance basketball shoes. KD's, LeBron's, right? Kyrie's a little bit later. Then people pulled away from performance and went more to like retro runners, a little bit more lifestyle shoes.
But also actually running had a moment in those early 2010s, right? Because it was like the Flyknit racers and the Roshe runs that were kind of dominating sales at that time.
That's true. That's true. And then, you know, exactly. And then it bounced back to, and then Boost as well, right? In
2015. Boost, yeah. So like, Boost.
Performance has always really been there, but there's been a long time now over the last, like, since maybe COVID, that performance hasn't really been cool. And now it's cool again. So I feel like, as with anything in the fashion industry and the sneaker industry, it's so cyclical, right? Things come and go. The trends might be different, but the patterns are always the same. And I feel like this is a little bit more of the same, right? Performance being cool again, people wearing like max cushioning shoes, because that's really what the Evo SLR and shoes like the Vomero Plus are. They're just like hyper cushioned shoes. Personally, I'm not a huge fan of, at least it depends on the outfit, right? I think like if you're wearing like cool running gear with your Evo SLs and you're just like walking around, I don't know, on the way to a workout or grabbing brunch or whatever, but you're going to be active at some point in them, okay. But if you're wearing jeans with Vomero Pluses,
Dude, and also, I don't know.
I'm going to give that a miss.
Whoever's listening, guys, if the sneaker person that you're following on YouTube or Instagram is telling you that the Adidas Evo SL is one of the most comfy shoes you can buy right now, like, don't listen to them. It's not comfortable at all as a daily lifestyle shoe. Like, if you want to walk around in the Evo SL, like, honestly, after maybe like half an hour, your feet are going to hurt. It's very unstable. It's not meant for walking. I don't know why people think it's a walking shoe, because they're getting all this misinformation online. I've seen people recommending this shoe as a walking shoe, and I'm like, you clearly haven't walked in this shoe if you're recommending this as a walking shoe. But yeah, also, yeah, it looks ridiculous. Like, honestly, with jeans or whatever, like, this is not a shoe you're supposed to wear with like an outfit. It's performance.
Yeah, exactly. It's performance that can be worn in like a leisurely, like, you know, going to yoga and then brunch. You have yoga at 9, brunch at 10 kind of vibes, but definitely not as a, oh, I'm going on a city trip and I'm going to wear jeans with my Evo SLs or something like that. But it's a very interesting observation. One thing that I've noticed actually is, so I read recently that Nike is going to bring back the 2001 shape on the Air Force Ones. And yeah. They're going to apparently, according to these reports, have more of a premium build, better leather or better whatever material it is. If it's probably not real leather, which let's wait and see if that's really true, right? But I think this could be the sign that like Nike's realizing, you know what, we need to step it up a little bit with some of our classics, because as we all know, we've discussed on the pod over the last few years, other brands have caught up. Nike's not first anymore. You could probably argue they're not even second or even top three anymore in a lot of rankings, right? There's other brands that they might not be moving as much.
Well,
as
Nike. I mean, in terms of sales, I think they're still number one.
I'm talking about like coolness, right?
Relevance,
street cred. They're not in the top three anymore and haven't been for a while. And I think they're realizing that like they need to go back to basics, but then these basics also need to be better, because how can you ask customers to keep buying Air Force Ones that are getting worse in quality but getting more expensive year on year, right? Like, what does an Air Force One cost now? Like 110,
115 in the US.
115, dude. That's ridiculous for the quality that you're getting. Like, you wear them once.
And it's plastic. It's not even leather. The regular white Air Force Ones, they're made of plastic, man. Don't tell me that's leather.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I'm interested to see how Nike moves over the last or over the next few years, because they do have a lot of ground to make up in terms of relevance. And I think they have one of the best, if not the best, catalog in shoes, in collaborations, in whatever, retro silhouettes. But they just need to get their shit together and really bring those out in a good way, price-wise, collaboration-wise, quality-wise, because it's not new. We've been talking about shitty Nike and Jordan quality since I was a freshman in college. So for 15 years now, you know? I'm interested to see how that develops, because it sounds like they're catching on, but let's see if they actually do.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. The Air Force One, at least on social media, has been labeled like an Unk shoe recently. And I feel like Nike is kind of okay with that. And now they're realizing that, okay, it is this older demographic that mainly wears the shoe. So they have a certain idea of what the shoe used to be and what it used to feel like, and how it used to look like. And it's about like, you know, okay, maybe we're not selling Air Force Ones to younger people like we hoped, but at least let's keep this older demographic continuing to buy Air Force Ones by giving them Air Force Ones that are better quality and at least make them feel like it's worth their money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, Air Force One is a little bit, it's in a weird spot, right? Because you've got these ballerinas, low profile, flat shoes are like super in right now, loafers, sneaker loafers, hybrid shoes. And the Air Force One is not that. It's a bulky shoe. It's a court classic. So I feel like even doing like a crazy run of collaborations in the Air Force One will not really make it relevant because the time is not right, you know? I think they need to fix the basics, make it a good classic shoe for those that want it. Like you said, the older heads, it sounds weird saying this because I feel like Air Force One is pretty timeless. And then if the zeitgeist shifts towards maybe a little bit more bulky, a little bit more basketball inspired, then boom, they can hit us with the collaborations and it'll work really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there another observation you had?
I mean, I've just seen a lot of brown shoes and I know you love brown shoes.
I mean, they're not it's not my favorite color, to be honest, in shoes.
I feel like you have a lot of brown shoes, no?
Yeah. Okay, sure. Actually, yeah, this one I just bought is brown.
Yeah, exactly. I know. My point is like, I feel like brown, there was a time I remember when I was still working at Heisen Body where like, remember when like cream sneakers were really in? Like
this, yeah,
like
off-white for sure.
Cream and like
cream midsole, especially.
All those aggregators on Instagram, they're like, they would just post a cream Dunk Low or cream Air Force One and people would go crazy and it would get like the most engagement. Mm-hmm. I think that's brown now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess like, it's just like an alternative, man. Like we're kind of tired of just seeing white and brown, white and black shoes, right? That's all that typically sells. You know, that's like this shoe, it came out in a black version. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I have so many black shoes. I want something a little different. So I went for the brown one. That was my reasoning.
I mean, I was just also, I was scrolling Hard Copy's Instagram recently and there, I would say their taste aligns very much with mine. Like pretty much everything they post, I at least find interesting, right? If not me wanting to buy it, I find it like, oh, this is a cool shoe. I want to like know more about, don't necessarily want to buy it or own it, but I want to know more about it. And if you look at their feed, it's like dominated by brown. Like every second shoe they post is brown. So seriously, for me, that's okay. Like an indicator as to like the current aesthetics and what kind of reigns supreme, at least on social media.
Man, maybe it's just been happening and I just haven't realized it. But like when I think about it, yeah. Even like that new pair of Evo SLs I bought is brown.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So like it's maybe like I haven't noticed it, but like, yeah, maybe I'm just buying a lot of brown shoes lately. Maybe I'm feeling brown right now.
Maybe you are. Brown is the new black.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a good, that's an interesting observation, man. It's like kind of happening in the background, but yeah. And I'm going to go to a Hard Copy's page right now and see if what you're saying is true.
It is. Yeah. It sneaks up on you though, these like trends or these like mindset shifts. Yeah, but it's not a bad colorway. I'm not saying it's bad. Yeah. I'm just saying that it's interesting. The brown is like the new kind of cool color to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so those are just some of the trends we've been kind of noticing. Let us know in the comments, guys, if any other big sneaker trends that you guys have been noticing lately. One thing we wanted to touch on is a piece that I wrote on Substack, which is about replica sneakers, and just a quick background on what I wrote. It mainly came from two kind of events that happened back to back. Like the first was me just walking outside, walking my dog, and seeing a guy wearing a pair of the Fragment ones, the Jordan 1 Lows, and just immediately in my mind thinking that, okay, those got to be fake because this guy just didn't look like, I mean, like, I know it sounds horrible, but it didn't, to me, this guy just didn't look like a guy who could get the real versions of those shoes. He seemed like a student. He had like a backpack on and I'm just like, I don't know how he could have possibly got these. So like, to me, in my mind, I'm like, those are 100% fake. And I also know that there's a lot of fakes of that shoe. And then the very next day, I decided to wear my pair of the Fragment ones, which is a original pair, which I got from sneakers and stuff. And I wore it and I posted a picture of it on my Instagram. And there were a lot of comments about it. And one comment that stood out to me was one person telling me, wow, it's crazy to actually see a real pair of this shoe because it's the most faked shoe in the world. And yeah, and then that made me think about the exact thoughts I was having the day before. And it just made me have this wider kind of thought about how when we see people with nice shoes now on the street, it's like very common for us to have this thought that those got to be fake, you know, like instead of appreciating the shoe, it's instantly like those have to be fake. And I after I posted that on Substack, I got another comment from someone in my DMs who told me that he kind of even feels that way now when he wears his original shoes. He feels like, you know, people just think he's wearing fakes. And yeah, that this part kind of sucks, you know, and it made me think like, did the quality and like improvement in like how good rep sneakers have gotten? Before I felt like it was really easy to tell a fake pair from a real pair, you know, like you go in New York, there's like what, Canal Street, I think. And in Asia, there's like shopping malls everywhere that sell fake sneakers. Even in Colombia, when I went last year, there was an entire shopping mall that sold fake sneakers. I think anyone could look at these sneakers and immediately tell they're fake if you know anything at all about sneakers. But the reps I'm talking about are like, you know, you get these good quality ones from like DHgate or whatnot. And even StockX can't tell them apart. That's why StockX even removed their 100% original guarantee on their website because they no longer could even do it. Do you think rep sneakers kind of ruined sneaker culture in that sense? Like, what's the point of paying for a nice pair of shoes if everyone's just going to think it's fake?
Okay. A lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from. I completely sympathize with that sentiment. That being said, I would say to me, I don't think sneaker culture should be like this. I do realize that it is like this in many cases, but I don't think you should be wearing things for approval or attention from others, right? I think, you know, you should wear your sneakers for yourself, for your appreciation for them, and then share that with other like-minded people, right? I think if people immediately assume your shoes are fake, then I would almost say that their intentions or motivations are misplaced in terms of like being part of sneaker culture, because it's like, who cares? You know, like if somebody else is wearing fake shoes, I agree with you. Like if somebody is wearing fake shoes, but telling every second person that they see like, yo, like check out my real.
Yeah. That's Scott so fragments. Corny to me, man.
That's
so corny.
That's corny. But like if, I don't know, if this college kid is wearing fake shoes because these are like his all time favorite shoe and he cannot afford the real one. He maybe doesn't know enough about sneaker culture to know where to find them. If he can't afford them, I don't know. And he kind of just says, you know what? It's easier, pain-free. They're basically the same thing, probably made in the same factories or similar factories to get the fake. I would almost give him a pass because if he's wearing them for the right intentions, he's not saying that they're real, but he likes the design. He likes kind of what they stand for and where they sit within sneaker culture and streetwear culture. Then I think it's okay. It's not going to get me angry. You know, I'm not going to sit there and grumble at the fact that somebody else is wearing fake shoes. And I'm also not going to worry about people thinking that mine are fake because I know mine are real, you know? I think that's kind of what I would say to that it doesn't really matter as long as you're comfortable, confident in what you're wearing and you're wearing them for you. If you're wearing them to like, I don't know, get approval from others, then maybe you should rethink wearing that specific shoe. You know, maybe you should wear another shoe that's not so flashy or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, those are all fair points. I definitely don't have a problem with people wearing reps. Let's be honest, you know, like for some of these, especially the Travis Scotts, when they were at the hype of all hypes, they were going for over $1,000, right, per shoe. And I totally understand like someone can really, really like how that shoe looks, but there's no way they either have the money or want to pay that much for a shoe. And if you can get almost the identical thing for a tenth of the cost, I don't blame people for doing that. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. Whatever. Like, I mean, no one's going to tell the difference anyways. Like, that's totally fine. I think so I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. That's fine. They can wear fakes. Nothing wrong with doing that. It's more about like the person who bought the shoe, the real shoe, and feeling like, you know, it's not as appreciated maybe, or even they themselves don't appreciate it as much. And I get what you're saying too. You shouldn't even care about that. You should just wear the shoes because you know they're fake. You know what you did to get it. You know how hard you worked to pay for that shoe. So it should only matter to you in the end. And yeah, that's a great point too. But I feel like the fake sneakers, besides having this feeling which I spoke about, which is you know, feeling like, oh man, no one thinks these are real anyways, it's also caused a lot of distrust in general in the sneaker community, right? Like, you can't, you know, feel good about purchasing something on StockX anymore, especially like expensive items like Travis Scott shoes. Like, there's no way I would buy something from StockX and feel 100% sure that I got a real thing, right? So that basically causes, you know, less demand for the shoe, which causes less demand in just, you know, hype sneakers in general, and cast like a kind of like a doubt shadow on sneakers and buying resale sneakers. And it's the same thing even if you're trying to sell your shoes, your collection, to another sneakerhead. They're going to doubt you as well. Like, when they see a nice sneaker, they're going to doubt that it's real as well, which makes it really hard to sell to other sneakerheads. And it's created, like, I feel like a lot of doubt too, you know, among sneakerheads. And that part is just not nice, because I feel like it was way easier to sell sneakers in the past. You could, you know, find Facebook groups and you had trusted people in there, but now it's just like, it's just harder, man. It's just harder to sell.
That's a really good point, actually. I think trust, because we talk about the sneaker community, we talk about culture, right? And I think trust is a really big part of community. Being able to share experiences with other people, with like-minded individuals, and build these relationships over years, right? Like, there's people in the community that have, you know, that they started by selling to some random person in their city, and then, you know, they sell to them again. Maybe they buy from them. Maybe they see them at like a camp out, and these relationships build up, and that's the sneaker community, right?
Yeah.
And I agree with you that I think that is definitely at risk when you put really good fakes into the equation, because then I think these people that we're talking about will continue to buy and sell real sneakers because you can trust them, but you would be very wary of buying from someone you don't know, right? Because you don't know if they're in it for the right reasons, if they're offering legitimate or fake sneakers.
Sure. And even buying it off someone who has a lot of good reputation, I mean, that person could have been fooled by a rep very easily. You know, like, these reps are getting harder and harder to tell apart. I honestly, people ask me on Instagram all the time. They'll send me pictures and ask me to legit check. Like, I don't know. I have no idea how to tell a fake from a real one. They're so hard to tell. So like, without that, you know, like, strong trust in sneakers and in the community, like, I feel like that has also really hurt the sneaker industry as a whole.
Yeah, I agree. I remember back in the day when, like, it was super easy to tell that, like, the Boost was off, or
exactly,
on the Yeezy 350s and V2s, that, like, you know, like, the way that the heel, the sole was, like, you know, there was lots of tells, and now it's just almost impossible.
Yeah, exactly. So that's basically what we just wanted to talk about on this topic. I would love to hear your thoughts, guys. Let me know in the comments. What are your thoughts about rep sneakers? How do you feel about other people wearing rep sneakers? And do you feel like it has damaged in a negative way the sneaker community, or do you think it's not really had much of an effect at all? Let us know in the comments. I would love to hear from you guys. And that pretty much wraps up this episode. It was really great to, you know, talk sneakers with you again, Fobs. I really miss doing this.
Yes, sir.
Definitely, even though I'm going to be in Canada for the next several weeks, like, I'm I'm going to take all my equipment with me. So definitely we'll try to get some pods while I'm over there. Tell you, give you like, I'll be like a reporter, you know, I'll be on the ground reporting live from the World Cup.
I was just going to say, you're going to be outside the stadiums asking people, so like, what sneakers did you wear today? Why? Yeah. Okay. What do you think the score is going to be?
Yeah, man, for sure. Yeah, I'm super excited to just be there, be around the stadiums. I don't think I'm going to actually end up going to a game just because the prices are so absurd.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, like even for like the, you know, the Canada Qatar game, which is coming up soon, the cheapest tickets I think were like $2,000.
That's which, like New York Knicks prices.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean I'm not paying that. So yeah, but I mean, even if I'm not going to a game, just being there is going to be great. So yeah, looking forward to that. And thank you everyone for listening in to another episode of the Kickback Pod. Happy to be back once again. Signing out until next time from Josh and Fobs. Peace.
Peace.